and Ephesians 5:18, B-side. This is a big one. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Okay, talk about controversial. What does the Bible say about alcohol? Whatever I say here, someone out there is going to disagree with me. Many Christians believe that we should not drink any alcohol at all, while many others believe that alcohol is fine in moderation. And there are people whom I really respect who fall on each side of this argument. This is primarily an argument among American Christians, but it's an important one. To be sure, the Bible has a lot to say about alcohol. There are strong warnings in Proverbs about the dangers of alcohol, and in the Prophets about alcohol's ability to take away the understanding of God's people. As a pastor with years of experience with Christians in recovery from addiction, I agree wholeheartedly with those warnings. Do not take alcohol lightly. Addiction can ruin your life, and even just one foolish night of drinking can wreck a lifetime. Don't mess around. And yet, the Bible also has quite a few references to wine and drink as pictures of joy, with no hint or warning of sin at all. So, which passages are right? Which part of the Bible should we heed? I would answer, both. All of the Bible is true, and I don't find any contradiction here. Alcohol is truly dangerous. Take heed. And, handled properly, alcohol can be truly joyful and without sin. So, wisdom is required here. The answer of whether it is okay to drink depends on the person and the situation, the company at hand, and the amount of drink. I myself have never had a tendency to addiction. It's just not how I'm wired. But I work with a lot of addicts. And I also work with friends who are of the conviction that all alcohol is sinful. So I have to be smart, and I don't put my freedom over someone else whom Christ died for. But on the other side, I also don't want to act judgmentally of a Christian or a non-Christian who drinks in moderation and with wisdom. I have to admit here, I made this mistake in the past, insisting on no alcohol whatsoever, and I put up walls that God did not intend, walls that prevented the gospel from getting through. Right or wrong, there is a very real sensibility among many non-believers that if you are willing to sit and drink a beer with me, you're okay, and we can talk about God or whatever. If you're too good to have a drink, forget it. I don't need your judgment. You may not agree with it, but you should understand that's how a lot of people feel. So how do we get a good, balanced view on alcohol so that we can stay away from the danger, but not fall into a legalistic trip that God didn't call us to? Read the Bible. Do a search for verses on wine or beer, and you'll find a very healthy balance. Our verse here in Ephesians 5 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." All right, that's good. That sets a limit. Don't get drunk. Where exactly is the line of drunkenness? That takes wisdom. But the words that follow, "which lead to debauchery," is a good hint. If it's leading you to bad decisions, it's too far. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Healthy moderation means that you never get to the place where the alcohol is making the decisions for you. Listen, I've seen the dangers of drunkenness and alcoholism, and they are serious. And when I consider that, I understand why many just believe we should avoid all alcohol. But then, there is also a very real danger in creating rules that God didn't, and insisting upon them for all Christians. We should never set our own authority over God's. So, walk in freedom, and walk wisely. If you have alcoholism in your history, stay away. And if you disagree with my take on this, then let's disagree with each other with some humility and understanding. Keep in mind that my primary job here is to help people understand what the Bible says. So I explain it as it is. I've read a lot of Bible, and I just haven't found a verse that says 100% no alcohol. I think that perhaps the reason that Christians argue in circles about the right or wrongness of drinking is that we miss the heart of the issue. Back in verse 15, the real issue with greedy, dirty, and immoral people wasn't just sin, but idolatry. Money, sex, and alcohol are not inherently bad, but using any of them to take God's place is very bad. When we say, "stop drinking because it's bad," The world doesn't listen because the statement simply isn't always true, and it's not in the Bible. If we say, stop drinking so much because it's dangerous, that's accurate, biblical, and at least a little more caring, but it's still incomplete. But when we say, stop using alcohol as a cheap substitute for God, it doesn't work and it leaves you empty. Now you're hitting home. And for some people, maybe a lot of you, that really does mean stop drinking altogether. It's just not safe for you. And guess what? The New Testament's most direct statement about drinking is not a call to stop, but rather a call to moderation. And, more importantly, to replace drunkenness with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Set God in His rightful place in your heart. Look back at verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. That is God's true desire for us. Fill your soul with the Spirit and fill your heart with songs, songs for the Lord. Getting drunk on wine is a cheap and empty substitute for the real thing, for being filled with the Spirit and filled with God's love. Think about it. When people really get alcohol wrong, it's often because they're chasing the feelings of love, joy, peace. But don't settle for an empty feeling. God has the real thing. The fruit of the Spirit is real love, real joy, real peace. And don't forget, the real self-control that helps you keep alcohol and all those other dangers in proper moderation. When I was a very new believer, I felt very strongly that God was calling me to give up secular music. Now, that was crazy for me. Music was my go-to, my everything. And I didn't really understand what was so bad about it. But I trusted God, so I gave it up. I didn't put a trip on anyone else. I just made a personal decision and stopped listening. And as time passed, I came to understand music had been my idol. Everything I was designed to need God for, I went to music instead. I had replaced Him. And that's an idol. Now, music isn't inherently bad. And I discovered some great Christian music that brought me closer to God. Some years later, when I had some more maturity in my relationship, God gave me the green light, and I could listen to my old music just fine without making it an idol. Now, that's my story, and alcohol is different, of course. If your body has been addicted, there is a very serious issue with physical addiction, and you should never risk allowing that to take control again. And don't stumble someone else by triggering them to it. Use wisdom, case by case. Many years ago, I was deeply impressed by the story of David Wilkerson, captured in his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Fantastic book. Amazing true story. I'm reading it again now with my daughter. Pastor David arrived in New York City in the 1950s, a country preacher with a heart for gang kids, and without a clue about big city life. And he didn't know the first thing about drug addiction. Sadly, very few people did, and no one had any hope for the kids who were mainlining heroin. Recovery just didn't happen. But read on in the story, and that old country preacher discovered something. When these kids got saved, and not just say a prayer saved, but filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, he witnessed real recovery. Years moved forward, and the recovery ministry of Teen Challenge was formed, and the success rate for recovery that they achieved absolutely dwarfed anything that government programs saw. And it's exactly what we find here in Ephesians 5:18. Don't get drunk, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'll admit, Pastor Wilkerson was a little more on the Pentecostal leaning than me, so getting baptized in the Spirit looks a little different for each of us. But I will not argue with God's work to save souls and heal addicts in phenomenal numbers. Praise God for it. And the simple formula to replace the addiction with the filling of the Spirit is right here in Ephesians 5. And that's it for the B-side. Hope it was encouraging and enlightening. I'll see you in chapter 6.